Congressman Richard Neal of Massachusetts, 1st District, a Democrat in office since 1989. So recently, Robert Mueller came out and said he had said all he wanted to say in his report. It's several hundred pages long, and that he doesn't want to testify. What should happen next, in your view?
Well, I thought what Robert Mueller did was to contribute additional confusion to the argument. I think that as media decided to take a side in this, that one of the problems we've had is that they have underplayed the role that Russia played in our national election. And as recently as last week, the European Union is complaining about Russia's use of bots to, in fact, create news that is inaccurate. And I think that in the one finding that Robert Mueller came across that was perhaps the most critical in terms of the election, Russia knowingly, willingly, and enthusiastically interfered in the American election. And they chose a candidate that they wanted to support, and they demonized Secretary Clinton for that very purpose. So whatever one thinks of the Mueller report, the one conclusion that is broad and I think acceptable to all is that Russia played a role in our election.
Let's look forward to 2020 then. How is our election security looking for the next time around? And part two of that question, what did you think of the president's comments that it would be okay to accept dirt from foreign agents?
I think that's outrageous. And I think that from any of us who would be contacted by a foreign agent in an effort to influence an election, the first obligation you have is to notify law enforcement officials, including and foremost the FBI. This is unacceptable, and I think that it sends the argument that your comments from outside would be welcome from a foreign adversary as long as they had an opportunity to influence the outcome of an election. So I've never heard of any president or any vice president or any leader or member of Congress, for that matter, say something like that. And the president attempted, as he frequently does, to walk back the comments the very next day, adding further confusion to the argument. The most important notion here is that if one has information that a foreign adversary is attempting to influence the outcome of an American election, then your obligation as a citizen or as an office holder or as a candidate is to notify the FBI.
You've run a lot of elections. Has that ever happened in any of your runs?
I've never been approached by anybody from the outside. And in fact, I will tell you this, that from time to time, you in the course of a campaign, you'll have somebody who wants to step forward. I can tell you this, and I'd say it under oath, I've never even met with them. I think that it's dangerous. I think that you don't know what their motive is. And I think that you're just better off to stay away from them. And that has been consistent throughout my career.
Let's talk now about the president's tax returns. This is something everybody is focused on lately. The Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, rejected your subpoena for those returns. And then after that, the DOJ issued a legal opinion saying he was on safe ground there. So the question is, what do you do next?
Well, there's nothing that was unexpected. I mean, I think that we feel very strongly that the law is on our side in this and that the law is very clear under the statute. And this goes back a considerable period of time. The last eight American presidents have voluntarily released their tax forms. In this instance, as you would recall, during the campaign, the president said that he would release his tax forms. He then said subsequently that he couldn't release his tax forms because they were under audit. He then suggested that after the IRS said that he could release the tax forms, that in fact, he's welcoming the idea that somebody would release the tax forms eventually. And I thought that the irony of his positions as they evolved was pretty interesting, suggesting that one would demonstrate his acumen as a business person. But in the previous course of the election, he indicated that he intended to release them. And we now are prepared for what I said would happen months and months ago, and that was that this would end up in a court case. So we've been very meticulous, very methodical, and very careful in the manner in which we've proceeded, but we are certainly close to filing the case.
There's a member of your committee from Texas who says you might not get the documents in this Congress without an impeachment process. I mean, is that how long we're looking here?
Well, I mean, one of the things that's important is that one of the parts of the genius of the American constitutional system is it's very hard for one branch to order another branch around. And I think that what we have here is confidence from the House counsel, who I have talked to regularly. And House counsel informs me that they believe that this can be resolved because they believe that the law is very clear. So speculation here really doesn't, I think, help the argument on what we might do or might do not do, because I have scrupulously, consistently followed the advice of the House counsel.
To that end, if I'm understanding their summary correctly, the DOJ said Congress does not have the constitutional right to force the executive to turn those tax returns over.
Well, I think that that's the position that the president's administration and those who have been appointed by the president have taken within the Justice Department. I think that we also have an indication from people inside of the Justice Department and a document that was published to the Washington Post that there are attorneys within the administration who believe that I'm on sound ground.
Okay, and another thing on this, just down the street from here, state lawmakers in New York passed a law authorizing New York State to turn over state tax returns to you, the House Ways and Means Chair. But my understanding is that you haven't pursued that yet. So how come?
Well, one of the issues, again, is what does the House counsel advise you on? And we have no responsibility at the federal level for state tax forms. Now, if they want to turn them over, that's fine. And the House counsel certainly, I believe, will dutifully review them. But our case, we believe, under 1603 of the federal code is clear and concise, and we intend to proceed on the basis of federal law.
Okay, now a political question related to this. President Trump said, hey, the voters didn't care last time. They weren't released, and I won anyway. Is he wrong?
Well, over the last 48 hours, he seemed to indicate that he was okay with the release of the documentation only because it would prove, once again, his business acumen. So the president changes his mind from day to day, from hour to hour, and from tweet to tweet, so you're never quite sure what he means by some of his proposals.
I raised the I word a moment ago. Let me go back to that. There's been some growing support among Democrats in the House to start impeachment proceedings. But, of course, you've got the roadblock of the Senate Republicans. So where are you on that question today?
Well, I've been very close to the Speaker of the House's advice on this. And Speaker Pelosi has taken the position that we ought to follow the facts. And if we end up there, that's fine. But she has also, I think, been very circumspect in her approach because largely that you would need 20 Republicans in the Senate to vote for conviction. And I don't know where you go to get the first one or two in the Republican Senate. And the result of which is you could exhaust the process, whatever finding you had in the House through inquiry. I find it hard to believe that you could move Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans. So what she is saying is that we should follow the facts, continue the case, and present the evidence to the American people, and then we could determine what is warranted as that process finishes. It is also important to recognize here that the wrenching notion of impeachment that goes on for a considerable period of time, I think, might avoid the argument that we have as Democrats that we want to talk about health care, retirement security, job security, climate change, because those issues become obfuscated if you wind up in a pitched battle over impeachment. So I think for the moment, the Speaker's position has been warranted and wise.
Do you think that the accelerated election calendar helps bolster that argument a bit? Because already we've got primary debates about to start. People are looking ahead to 2020. So there is certainly momentum for the argument you've made, which is, hey, there's an election coming up. We can decide it there.
Well, I think that's at the moment the better course. And I also think there's a very spirited effort on the Democratic side. I think that you can see when you look at the calendar what's about to happen as the debates play out now, starting almost momentarily, that before you know it, Iowa is here. And with in days of Iowa, you're on to New Hampshire. Then you're on to South Carolina. Then you're on to Nevada. Then you go to Super Tuesday. So it is likely by, I think, late winter that you could conceivably know who the candidate is going to be on the Democratic side. And I also would say that, you know, campaigns are about forming a government. So I hope that responsible positions here that are taken by our candidates will help propel them come November against a candidate on the Republican side who is in Orlando announcing that he's going to be a candidate for re-election that has really been very chaotic in the manner in which he's governed.
Congressman Richard Neal from Massachusetts 1st District, a Democrat in office since 1989. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And when we come back the next time, let's do a lightning round.
Thank you.